The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of the prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of the disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today, as I preach to you, is just 2 days before the Independence Day, where many Americans host or attend barbecues, cookouts, having hot dogs and hamburgers, along with picnic sides, their fruit and yummy desserts. And all this in the spirit of Ubuntu, in the spirit of community, in the spirit of one American family. But also today, I also speak to you 4 days after the Supreme Court rejects the affirmative action, a race conscious admission at colleges and universities across the country. And it feels like the country has been on a course of choosing between a continuation of the great era of the civil rights and another view, we have done this long enough. And we need a whole new approach. And it is now the second choice that we are in today. And all this is the environment in which we live today. But this morning, I want to talk about welcome. Welcome. And this is a very ordinary word that we use almost every time. And I also, as visit many other people, I see on their doormats, welcome. And sometimes I see this word, oftentimes on the road signs, as you enter the new state or the new county or town. Welcome to Massachusetts. There are places where people are offered welcome. As you get in Walmart, there's a person by the door. Oh, welcome in Walmart. Welcome in Wegmans. They are there to welcome us in BJ's. Oh, I'm just mentioning some of the big supermarkets I know. But I know you go to Stop and Shop and the like. But there are people who welcomes you there. And sometimes when we go to the restaurants, we find another person again. Good evening or good morning. Welcome, table for two. Asking you to find a spot to sit. And all this is in the name of welcome a guest, a new person in that place. But my dear brothers and sisters, perhaps the measure of the true welcome is the ability of the host to make the guest feel at home. But there are some places where one can go and always feel at home. Right? But I know it may look different. Sometimes it smells different. It may be full of strangers, but somehow it just feels like war. And it is good to be there. I've been here now almost 4 years. And I remember, you know, this was no way, but I felt so welcome, the warmth. And that's why I am here today. because I felt that well, well. So, but let me go further about this word, because I know we use it in different languages. In my own language, it's Shona. We say Mahuya. And Mahuya, it means it's so extended. It's so extended, Mahuya. But I hear in other languages, welcome. And in German, willkommen. Right? And sometimes in French, you use bienvenue, right? And all these words. Bienvenida, bienvenuto. And all these words, they mean one and the same thing. And what they mean is that to let them know that you are glad they have come as the host. So welcome, welcome. And they are different languages, yes, but they say the same way. It is well that you have come. But however, my favorite modern Hebrew word is Baruch Haba. Is that correct? Right?
That's
written. It's correct. Yes. Baruch Haba. Blessed is the one who has come. The arrival of a guest, be they loved one or a stranger, is a blessed moment. And the guest brings a blessing with them. Now, this word now, that completes the meaning of the welcome when you come to me as a guest, and all will be well. And because you bring me a blessing, I will be a blessing to you and make you welcome. So it's a complete word now. You are coming, but you also bring with you the blessing. And I am blessing you because I've welcomed you. That's now complete. But the truth is, we don't always welcome everyone. Sometimes we welcome only those who are in our circles. If you don't belong to our circle, no. But if you belong to us, yes, you are part of us. Oh, by the way, let me just tell you, on Friday, just 2 days ago, in our community, there was a block party. So I went with my family. We're very new. This was our first time to be in this community. And there was a block party. All the streets were closed, and there was a band. And we went there, you know, we just saw, and everybody was saying, oh, what's the heck? Wow, who are these, you know? We were so unique because of our color, of course, and we knew nobody knew us. Everybody knew almost everybody. But there's always one person. Always. There is always, sometimes. Sometimes it could be the pastor. Sometimes it could be the president of the assembly, okay? But sometimes there's always one person. And there is a lady who came to us and said, oh, there's a lot of food. And she goes with us from one place to the other. And we begin to feel like, oh, okay, now we are here. Now we are here. It just happens that way. But I'm not saying, I'm not trying to make this to feel bad. I'm just highlighting what the community is like. And this is the community in which we live. So we say, all are welcome. Hey, by the way, what this song? All are welcome in this place. Really? Sometimes not. Sometimes, yes, yeah, we can sing that. Sometimes not. You realize that we've been singing this song because we enjoy the acoustics, you know, from my imaginary world. But it's not real. It's not in us. Only when the church is over, when you begin to notice that you are welcome or not. Oh, by the way, I was at one church. Let me tell you, it's good to talk about welcoming today, but I was at one church one time, and I went there, and you know, nobody. Until now, the pastor showed up on this one, said, poor guy there, let's go to you, let me go to me. And then the pastor came to me, and said, hey, how are you? Who are you? Where are you from? You know, all that. Oh, by the way, there is an African church down the street somewhere there. And I was like, oh, easy. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's Makana Yesu, you know. And I said, I was so happy then, of course. But later when I said, begin to listen to what they say, I said, but I'm not Ethiopian, by the way. Why would you direct me to Makana Yesu Church? Yes, I'm black, but I'm not Ethiopian. Why would you direct me to the Makana Yesu Church? It's those kind of assumptions. But do you know? Do you know that there are even some other impediments, even when you look in the church, that sometimes that does not feel you, make you feel welcome? You know, let's begin to think about some of the things. Even in the steps that we go up, let's think about it, because sometimes they say this is where you can go as far as you can go, not any further. Sometimes, I'm not saying always, I'm just saying sometimes. Things communicate something sometimes. But I'm trying to talk about welcoming here today. And sometimes people doesn't do that. But usually, it's because we see unwelcome one as a threat of some kind. And maybe they pose a physical danger. And that's correct. But at least they think they do. And this is what we sometimes think they do, even when they don't. But maybe they appear to be a moral danger, but they don't align with our values. So they are not part of us. But maybe they look to us like a social danger. They threaten the accepted order that we treasure so much. And sometimes the unwelcome one poses a psychological and emotional danger because they threaten the way we think or what we know is true, or they tell us the things that we don't want to hear. So they are not welcome. And sometimes these people, the unwelcome ones, are bringing us a message of God. They bring the message of God. Now, Jesus said, whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And Jesus refers to the one he sends out on the mission in three ways: as disciples, as prophets, and as little children, little ones. And they are the disciples because he is the teacher. And they are the prophets because they tell the good news in Jesus' name. They are speaking for God. And what that's what the prophet does. He speaks on behalf of God. But finally, they are little ones because they go out as vulnerable as children. They don't go out with a military escort. They don't have connections with the high and the mighty. They don't have any credentials except Jesus' own name. And what they have to say about the reign of God will always be welcome, which means that they will not always be welcome. They will be seen as a threat to the status quo, and they are not welcome in the places which they are going. By the way, this text is the long teaching of Jesus from chapter 9. I think you understand that. Right from chapter 9, now we are at the close of one sermon or one teaching which Jesus gave. So for about 3 weeks, four weeks now, we have been dealing with chapter 9 to chapter 10. Now we're on chapter 10, which is now the last segment of Jesus teaching his disciples. So he is saying, you guys, where you are going, don't think that it's just going to be easy and people will say, all are welcome. It's not like that. Some people will not welcome you at all. So Jesus saying, whoever welcomes you and whoever welcomes me welcomes one who sent me. So when you speak in my name, Jesus tells them, you speak as a prophet. And the power of the Almighty God is with you, and blessed is anyone who welcomes you. So these are the words that are addressed to Jesus' disciples. And that's what we are. And Jesus has already welcomed us in his heart. Jesus has already made us his own. Jesus, we need to be reconciled to God in Christ, and now we stand ready to be obedient from the heart. We are the ones who are being sent out on Jesus' mission to of repentance, reconciliation, and forgiveness, and love. And we may find that these are those who will not welcome the message, and sometimes not welcome us at all. But Jesus' words are meant to encourage us not to falter in our mission of God's unwelcoming love to the whole world. So we are here, again. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And we understand this language is in the context of like the work of the ambassador. Remember, the one who welcomes the ambassador welcomes the leader of that country. So in other words, when you welcome the disciple, we have welcomed Jesus, we have welcomed God in the practice. But I want to highlight some few things here. According to the Jewish law of Jesus' time, a person's emissary or envoy was synonymous with that very person. So Jesus identified such a figure as a shaliach, which also means sent one. One tradition speaks of a man, Shaliach, being the man himself. You remember, Paul says to the Galatians, "You welcomed me as Christ Jesus." So when people welcomed Paul, they welcomed Jesus. So to welcome a disciple, which with a cup of cold water, is to receive Christ. And to receive Christ is to receive God. But here's the thing, my dear friends. Discipleship doesn't have to be heroic. Jesus seems to say it's nothing more than giving a cup of cold water. It's offering a hug to someone who is grieving, or a listening ear to someone in need of a friend, or encouraging, giving an encouraging word or helping hand, or offering a ride to someone without a car, or volunteering at the local food bank or homeless shelter. These small things are very important in the mission that we have. But again, I want you to imagine in this context that a traveler in the hot, dusty Palestine would appreciate a cup of cold water, isn't it? And what a treat. What a reception. What a welcome. I understand I was watching the news that the heat is going to be 120 in some places, from California to Georgia. And some already have died, about 12 people, right? But, oh, you don't watch the news, I didn't see that. 12 people have died. Right? But I want you to imagine that heat, and you are there with a bottle of cold water and give to the person. It's small, but it makes a difference. A drink of cool water, not just a drink, but a cup of cold water. What a reception. What a way of telling someone that they are welcome in their home. So most of us are all too aware with the term xenophobia, a fear of the stranger. Such a fear leads to nationalism, racism, and even genocide. But Jesus' call today is welcome another, and is a call to xenophilia, a love of a stranger. The stranger who is also a guest, who is the embodiment of Christ after a long walk on the road to Emmaus, is also the host. You remember the story in Luke? The Clopas and his friend didn't understand when the figure approached to them and said, "What are you talking about?" Only when they get to a place and break the bread, they understand it was Jesus. Remember, Jesus wanted to pass by, but the Clopas and his friends say, "Hey, come on, it's too late. We'll give you a home." They welcome the stranger, and yet they didn't understand that it was Jesus himself. And when Jesus was on the table, he became the host. And here's the thing, my dear friends. When you welcome the stranger, you welcome God. And this is a profound message for us today. My dear friends, welcoming another requires attention to the other. It means often setting aside our comfort zones for how one may be different or strange to us, and meeting him or him as they are is very important. Being an agent of God's hospitality makes Christ's presence known. And my dear friends, may God continue to open our arms, our ears, our hands, and our hearts, and indeed, our very lives to the strangers among us, so that we might welcome all in the name of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.